My name is Bernard Guerra, and I'm your host of the Apartment Investor Series podcast, where I provide an in-the-trenches look at the multifamily real estate market. I have been fortunate for nearly 25 years as a broker to learn from and witness what super successful apartment investors have been doing with their investment properties. This podcast highlights how the experts are maximizing their multifamily investing. Let's get started. Hello, we're with Susan Suzuki from Windermere Realty Trust. Susan, how are you today?
Excellent. Thank you. And you?
Oh, really great to talk to you as always. Well, before we get started, do you call yourself a broker? What is your title?
Yes, I am a licensed real estate broker in the state of Oregon and been doing this for amazingly 20 years now.
Yeah, we first met in the Pearl when you were working for developers, I think, with condos.
Yep. I had the pleasure of working on 13 condo buildings and worked for incredible people. And that's how I got my start in real estate. And then it's just really kind of flourished from there. And so now I have a business partner that I've worked with for also 20 years. We started together at Debbie Thomas Real Estate, and now we're both together at Windermere Realty Trust in our own group called the Willow Group.
Fantastic. And what's your territory, for lack of better words?
I'd say Metro Portland. I mean, I'd say Washington, Multnomah, Clackamas County, Portland, Lake Oswego, some Beaverton.
Got it. So basically Portland Metro. That makes sense.
Yes. And my colleague at the Willow Group is Sasha Welford that I've gotten to work with.
Right. And yeah. You guys, you know, too. Yeah. You guys represented me in a sale of my condos years ago.
Yes.
We had a great relationship then, and it's nice to see on the podcast. Well, I asked the same question a week ago. We had Mark Alto, who's a loan officer, on. And the first question that was what's going on with the residential real estate market in Portland? So I have to ask you the same question since you're the expert.
Excellent. Well, I'm curious how our answers match up. So really, closed transactions are up 17.6% comparing April of 2023 to May of 2023. In May.
Okay. That's a pretty big jump for 1 month.
Yes. We definitely got a late start to our spring, in my opinion. But May was a much better month. But then when we go back and we compare it to May of 2022, we're down 31.1%.
Okay, so also a big number,
So that's pretty dramatic. Most likely a direct impact of mortgage interest rates being higher. As of today, a 30-year mortgage interest rate probably sits right around 7.12, 7.14. Okay. And this same time last year, we were looking at like 5.23 for an interest rate.
40% higher.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And really anything that closed in May of 22 probably locked in their interest rate in April of 2022.
Okay.
If they were doing a 30-day closing. So they could have been looking at 3.85 to 4.
Got it.
In April of 2022. And then if we go all the way back to January of 2022, we were looking in the low threes for a 30-year fix. Some even buying a rate even lower than that.
Yeah, so that's just a good reminder for everyone for the next cycle. When interest rates go up, they spike up quickly. It's not like a gradual stair step over 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, and I think last year, this time last year, I think people thought, oh, okay, they're easing up. I don't think anyone anticipated, even the people looking at this on a daily basis, I don't think they anticipated it going from 4 to 7 in less than a year.
Right. Yeah. Well, It's a good reminder for us for the next cycle.
Yes. And you know, we all think this is what had to happen because we were also seeing double digit appreciation, which sounds great, but that's not normal.
Right. Not sustainable.
And so you have to have some leveling. And so hopefully we can maybe get to a plateau at like 5.5, something like that would probably be healthy.
And, you know, as far as interest rates, I know if we had a crystal ball, we can make $1 bazillion in 5 minutes. But what's the vibe out there for what rates are going to do the rest of the year?
Well, overall, I'm hearing people think they're going to ease down a little. But I also think it just kind of depends on our world economy.
Right.
And what's luckily they've made some movement with the federal spending limits and that sort of thing. So hopefully that helps as well.
Yeah. Mark Alto, like we just talked about, he basically was hearing similar things where if they're optimistic, you think they're going down a little bit. If you're pessimistic, you think it'd be about the same. But it sounds like it'll be somewhere, not a whole lot of movement, plus or minus is kind of the general vibe.
I have not heard anyone say they think it's going higher.
Okay. Interesting.
But
yeah. Well, like I said, we just need that crystal ball.
Yes, absolutely. I wish.
Well, since your finger is on the pulse of the market so well, what trends are you seeing right now that may not be advertised or common knowledge for most people?
For selling a house, you mean?
Buying or selling, yeah. Start with selling if you want.
I mean, really, we're continuing to see great homes and great locations with nice layouts that are clean and primed go and sell. Buyers are liking white paint.
Okay.
And they like light finishes. Our inventory is still really historically low. We have 1.9 months of inventory in Metro Portland, which equates to about 40 days is the average time on the market. Sellers got used to last year in 2022, their neighbor's home going pending in, you know, 10 to 20 days.
Right.
And so they thought it would be the same this year, but it is taking a little longer, but more reason to have your home just really dialed and not miss that opportunity to make a first impression.
Got it. So the stuff that you would expect to be in demand is in demand.
It's still in demand. It's freshly painted, professionally cleaned. You know, I see it over and over. Just having a home that the windows sparkle and that there isn't clutter. I mean, really, all of us could probably remove about a third of our belongings from our house.
Okay.
And put it into storage.
Right.
And if you still need it, put it into storage. And just, you know, a buyer wants to walk in and think that they have plenty of room for all of their things and not that there's not enough closet space or there's not enough storage space. So putting away excess furniture, accessories, or make your kitchen counters clear and, you know, let a buyer imagine what it's going to be like for them to live there. And so sometimes I think as a seller's perspective, you might have to go back and think what made you fall in love with your house when you bought it however many years ago.
Right.
Point out every improvement you've done, even if it seems minor. A buyer likes to know that you've cared for your house.
That makes sense.
And, you know, just recently I was in a house and there are a lot of steps up to the house. And so, you know, you're walking up there thinking, wow, this is a lot of steps to the front door. On the refrigerator in the house, they had two articles showing the health benefits of taking the stairs on a regular basis. And I thought that was just perfect because I don't know if it was their idea or their real estate broker's idea, but right. I just thought that was so smart because it's true that, you know, they obviously have stayed young and healthy yeah. by taking the stairs. So
taking the potential negative and flipping it on its head, I guess, right?
Right. Exactly. So what, you know, and the people buying it said the same thing. They said, oh, we're going to stay healthy living yeah. in this house. So, you know, just if there's things that you think, oh, nobody's going to like this, you know, there is somebody out there that might like it. But just right. have the home ready to go. Maybe do a pre-listing home inspection.
Yeah.
To know what your home might be looking at or in need of for right. repairs. The great thing about doing that is you're an educated seller as far as, you know, rarely do we look in our attics and in our crawl spaces and yep. that sort of thing. So know that information when you're not under the gun and in a rush
right.
in the middle of a real estate transaction. And then you have the opportunity to choose if there's anything needing to be done. You get to choose your contractors. You get to, you know, yeah. decide yep. who you're going to work with to have things fixed. And it will most likely be a better outcome and save you some money if you have things ready before another party's involved.
Yeah, that's a great point. I come from a sports psychology background where I worked with athletes that were under pressure. And a lot of it was, this is what, 30 years ago now. So my master's degree is in sports psychology. And it was about like, how can I help athletes make decisions under pressure when it's really tough? Mm-hmm. And you're right. When anxiety goes up, it's just really hard to make those critical decisions without making mistakes.
Yeah. And when you have, you know, it's one thing when it's just you as the homeowner or homeowners versus mm-hmm. now you have two realtors involved and their opinions and the buyer's involved and maybe the right. lender is involved and an appraiser involved. It can sometimes just be too many cooks in the kitchen. And so,
yeah, it definitely gets.
And it's nice to provide a buyer with receipts and say, hey, this has been taken care of. And then they can check that off their list.
Yeah. I can imagine that, that proactive approach is probably really beneficial, especially in a market like this when
yeah.
2, 3, 4 years ago, at least in the apartment world, the sellers didn't have to negotiate at all after the inspections.
Exactly. And now we're seeing, you know, our inventory's ticked up a little bit. And mm-hmm. so, you know, what if your neighbor's home comes on the market at the same time? It might really be beneficial to say, hey, our sewer line's already been taken care of, or
right.
our crawl space is in perfect condition, or our roof or something like that.
Yeah, good point. Well, here's a question for you on another related note. You mentioned 1.9 months of inventory.
Yeah.
So me coming from the commercial world, I've heard that term so much. And my confession is I actually don't know the definition of that.
So that means that's how long it would take if everything that's currently on the market were to sell. It okay. would most likely take 1.9 months for it to all the current actives to be absorbed if nothing
Got
new
it.
Comes
okay.
on. Great question. Sense. Great question.
Well, it's one of those things where you hear that term all the time. It's like cap rate in my world. People, mm-hmm. you know, people hear cap rate all the time, but then I have clients that will embarrassingly, they shouldn't be embarrassed, but they feel like they should be embarrassed or sheepish ask, what's a cap rate? And I'm like, hey, that's a very misunderstood term in commercial real estate. Thank you for asking. You know, it's really good to ask that question. So
absolutely.
I learned a long time ago, I'll rather look silly and embarrassed, but have the answer.
agree. And yeah. you can never be too educated on these things.
Yeah. Yeah. So if 1.9 months inventory, what's been historic, what have we seen the last 10 years? How does that compare? Is that still pretty low?
It's still low.
Yeah.
It's still low. It really is. And you know, as I think as we see interest rates kind of plateau off,
yeah.
it is somewhat normal to see a 40 to 60 day listing period.
Okay.
But we just haven't seen that for so long.
Right, right. Sellers have been in the catbird seat for a long time.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, and, you know, maybe we'll go from a seller's market to more of a neutral market.
Yeah.
Where it just depends on the property, and some homes will stay seller's market and some might become more of a buyer's market.
Yeah, it's always interesting to me when we see multiple markets happening within, you know, the main picture.
We're seeing that now with condominiums.
Oh, interesting.
Condominiums are taking longer to sell, mm-hmm. And there's more inventory in condominiums than there are in detached homes.
That's an interesting side note.
Yeah. So when we're looking at a condo versus a detached home, we have to look at condo-specific statistics versus the overall, you know, Portland Metro, those are very much averages. And so you'll see, obviously, outliers.
Yeah. And that's where somebody can come to you and say, hey, you know, I can see where you can really provide a nice service for people by breaking out the submarkets so they're not
absolutely
taking in the wrong information or misleading information.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, well, that's sellers. So what advice in this market, I love to ask people, what advice would you give for buyers and sellers in the market? So what's your advice for buyers?
For buyers, just be prepared financially, mm-hmm. Emotionally. There are still, you know, like I said, the hot homes that are style that are appealing to many can still see multiple offers. And so if you're going to look at a home or a property, you need to know how are you going to purchase it if it's the one. And so begin by talking to your financial advisors. Be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Know what your wish list is. You know, make some things that you're not willing to compromise on as far as your hopes and dreams for your next property, but also know that you're going to have to compromise on something because there mm-hmm. is no perfect house. Even if you go to build a house, you're going to have to compromise on something. So just be, you know what your order of importance is. And as it's, I've heard this so much, but it's really true. Date the interest rate, marry the home. So get a home that you want to be in long term or a property you want to be in long term and know that if the interest rate comes down, you can refinance.
Yeah.
But don't be rushed into purchasing a property that really you don't feel strongly for, because if you don't feel strongly for, chances are the next buyer may not as either. And so if the market does shift, you want to be in a property that's a good, solid, you know, style and quality of construction and that sort of thing. So, just know that, you know, a move-in ready property in a primo location, that's going to be desirable in a upmarket or a downmarket.
Got it. So it's like the ancient Greeks said, at the Oracle of Delphi, know thyself.
Right. Exactly. and know too what's realistic. If mm-hmm. if you see a property that's been sitting and could be a great time to make an offer on something that other people maybe haven't noticed, but you know, maybe you can make some improvements to make it more desirable. But also know, like, is that retaining wall gonna cost you $20,000 or $100,000.
Right.
You know, get professional advice, and get estimates and know what is within your reach for, you know, whether it's, as is, or if you plan to make improvements to a house.
Yeah, that's great advice. I've seen a shift in the commercial world with apartments where, for years, about 25% of the deals were value add deals that needed a lot of work.
Yep.
And with the rent control going in and the difficulty finding contractors, those deals mm-hmm. and the prices going up, It's shifted now to people wanting more finished apartments because it's just so hard to find the work, the people do the job. And then, you know, the prices are still, they haven't really come down for even rehab projects. So,
interesting. Yeah. And we just this week we had a deck contractor who said that they can give a bid for a new deck on a property, but the bid was only good for 7 days because the price of lumber changes so dramatically. So there's, you know, lumber and fuel and all those things, and shortage of labor absolutely impacts the price of things for.
Yeah. All the more reason if you're a seller to really know what issues you've got, a buyer's going to see when they buy your house.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure. And then also for a buyer, you know, if you're under contract and you found the great, great property to buy, don't go getting a loan on anything else until you've closed on that property.
Okay, got it.
We see people get excited and they've just gotten a promotion or something and, I'm going to get the house and I'm going to buy a new car too.
Right,
Don't do that yet. Keep your job, keep your bank accounts well-funded.
Yep.
Don't risk a great opportunity over a short-term purchase. So stay focused on getting the property locked up, and then you can think about improvements or other loans.
You know, sometimes the best advice is often the simplest, right?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes we forget to tell people what.
Yeah.
In our industry, we forget to tell people what we think might seem obvious, but it's not so obvious if this isn't something you do on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I'm glad you brought that up, because when you hear you say, hey, don't go buy another big purchase while you're under contract, it just makes so much sense. But then you realize, you know, people that aren't doing this every day of the year don't necessarily know that it affects anything.
No. Right. Right.
Well, cool. Any other trend, you know, I'll let you go here in a minute, but any other trends that you're seeing that may not be as maybe public or advertised or common knowledge yet that you're seeing in the trenches?
Well, it's so just, you know, interest rates definitely impact the price of properties.
Right.
So since the interest rates have gone up, the average sales price has come down. And so that's definitely, compared to May of 2022, our average sales price has come down by 4.7%.
Okay.
So just know when interest rates come down, prices will probably go back up. So they are a correlation to each other. Again, we've discussed that you can always refinance. So it is a great time to invest in real estate, because real estate, it's a long, slow progression.
Yeah.
And so if you're buying to hold, it's a great time because prices have eased down a bit. An interesting statistic I heard just this week is that it wasn't until 1979 that we reached 4 million home sales in the U.S.
Okay.
Then there was a recession in 1980, 81, and 82.
I was a kid. I remember that. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
My parents were real estate brokers, so I remember that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they saw record interest rates.
Yep.
So it took 17 years for the U.S., to get back to 4 million home sales.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
And that wasn't until 1996.
Okay.
Then in 2007, we reached 6 million home sales in the U.S.
That's a huge spike.
Yep. And then we had the Great Recession of 2008, which we all survived.
Yep.
But it took until 2021 to hit 6 million again. So it's really interesting how all of this, you know, the interest rates and recessions impact the volume of sales.
Right, right.
But right now, I mean, we have over 63% of U.S. mortgages that begin with a 2 or a 3 as their percentage rate.
Wow. That's a huge.
So that is, you know, we're unlikely to see rates that low again for quite a while. So understandably, there's sellers that are hesitant to sell their home because they're not going to get that rate on their future property. So one option that you probably, you know, may see more than me is, can that current home become a rental property? Mm-hmm. And then you go buy your next residence, but the rental income is helping you to offset. And, you know, could you use a home equity loan from your current property to fund your next home? So there are options, and people just need to reach out to experts like you and talk to, you know, talk to property management companies, talk to great realtors, great lenders, excellent financial planners, talk to their accountants, and discuss just options to be in a good financial position long term, no matter what the interest rate is.
Yeah, great opportunity to up-tier your team while you do the research.
Right.
Yeah. And because I can see what you mean. In the past, you just sell your house and buy a new one. Now, all of a sudden, you've got a bunch of different factors to take in consideration, so you're making the best decision in a complicated market.
Yeah, and just don't do anything in a rush.
Yeah, good, great advice. Well, thank you, Susan. How can prospective clients get a hold of you?
So my colleague and I have a website, and that is Willow Group PDX, just like the airport, PDX.com. I can also be reached at Susan@WillowGroupPDX.com. And then my mobile number is 971-645-1505.
Great. And I'll have that up for people on the podcast site as well. So thanks for joining us today, Susan. And hopefully you'll join us again in the future. Let's check back maybe near the end of the year and see how things are progressing.
I would love to. That sounds great.
Well, have a great day. I know you're doing community service today. Thanks for doing that, and enjoy the children. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. That's part of Windermere Realty Trust, and the whole company is doing community service today. So it's a great way to give back to our community.
Yeah. What are you doing then? What are you guys doing?
We are going to Chelsea's Closet, and they're a phenomenal organization. They provide costumes for kids, really infant all the way to 18, that are in hospitals for one reason or another. And not only do they provide the costumes for the kids in the hospital, but also the siblings and the friends that come to visit. So it lets those that are suffering take their mind off of it for a little while and play and do some make-believe while they are dealing with some really harsh circumstances.
No kill. That sounds really cool. And I'm sure that'll be a great time. And thanks again for doing that. That's really great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you bringing costumes? Are you bringing costumes today or?
No. So they get the costumes from various retailers in the area and Halloween costumes and things. And so then we go help because they tag them, they sort them by, you know, the type of costume, because a kid can request exactly a character that they that they really like. Right. And so then we help sort them, size them, and package them so that they're all ready to go to the kids in the hospitals.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. And have a great time. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bernie. So great to talk to you.
You too. Okay. Thank you very much for listening. If you like this episode and want to hear more, subscribe to our podcast where we release new episodes weekly. If you want more information about the multifamily market, go to my firm's website, josephbernard.net, click on the Contact Us page, and sign up for our apartment e-newsletter. As a bonus for listening to this podcast, I will answer any apartment investing in questions you may have via email at bgarrett@josephbernard.net. That is bgehret@josephbernard.net.